We're continuing going through the book of Exodus here, and one of the kind of big chapters, I guess you could say, about the book of Exodus, because it's here that we have the Ten Commandments. We're not going to read the Ten Commandments, though. We're going to skip past it down to verse number 22 and read down through verse 26 and pray and see what God's got for us today. The Bible says here, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discoverable." What we'd like to bring our sermon this morning on is this thought: approaching God the right way. Approaching God the right way. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And help me, Father, please, to present the sermon the way you'd have me to be a help to your people and a light to the lost. And I do pray, Father, for an extra portion of your Holy Spirit to be upon me. Just, you know what all is going on, Father, and we do pray, Lord, for your help with it, please. Thank you, God, for being so wonderful to us, so good to us, and giving us this opportunity to come today to share your word with your people here in their home. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. So, as I begin to look at this passage of Scripture, and I got to thinking about, you know, sometimes we feel like we are trapped. A matter of circumstances has just kind of forced us into doing things, you know, into a direction that we're not wanting to go, and we get so tempted to sit here and try to do things our own way, in our own strength, because we think that maybe it'll just work out a little better if we try doing it this way instead for a change. And oftentimes the rules and regulations that have brought us to that point of making us want to try to do things our own way, they've actually been placed there for our benefit. They've been established because this is the way that works. And what God's trying to do here is He's trying to establish for the Israelites, and by extension the church, you know, how to go about doing things, because this will work. Kind of like how the flight, or the kite, you know, you take it outside and you tie it to the string and you run, you get the wind underneath the kite and the kite goes flying. And you can start manipulating the string so that kite will do twists and turns and fly this way and fly that way. And the kite, if it had its say, if it could do things its own way, would cut that string so that it could just go and enjoy the wind. The problem is the rules and regulations that have been bound to it by that string are there for its protection. If the string were to cut, yeah, the kite would get to soar up into the sky a little bit, but it's going to have a very hard landing very quickly. It'll find a tree, it'll crash into the ground, it'll become torn and broken and be brought to utter ruin. It needs the string. And our worship needs the string that God has established for us, that we must approach Him His way in order to be able to properly worship our Father in heaven. Now, as we said, this is the chapter here that has the big ten, those ten commandments that God established. And we see those in verse 3 down to verse number 17, and I'm not going to read all that for you here today, because we've got a pretty good idea what they are, and I'll summarize for you. Number 1, God is to be first in everything. Number 2, don't make any images to worship, thinking, while I'm worshiping God, you're actually worshiping the image. Number three, we're not to be abusing God's name. And so often Christians will do that without even thinking about it. They'll rattle off something like, "Oh God," or "OMG," or something like that. It's taking God's name in vain and using it wrongly. The fourth commandment is that one day out of the week we're supposed to be resting. The fifth commandment tells us that we're supposed to give respect to our parents because they are God's duly appointed representatives here on this planet. The sixth commandment says, do not kill. Some of us like to make that a little more difficult on us than others. She didn't even pay attention to me, talking to my daughter there. Number seven is do not commit adultery. The marriage is supposed to be between one man and one woman, not bringing other people in. Number eight says, do not steal. I guess that one don't apply to dogs because you know how much they love to jump up on the lap and steal your food and whatnot. Number nine, don't tell lies. And then, of course, number 10 is that we're not supposed to be wanting what belongs to someone else. The Bible calls that coveting. These are rules to obey. That's what God established for the Israelites. And in fact, even today, all the thousands upon thousands of laws that are written down in our books, whether they be at City Hall or there in the some federal building in Washington, D.C., they all actually have their basis on the Ten Commandments. Now, why do we have these rules to obey? Well, because God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, is not the author of confusion. Without the rules, without the regulations that He's established, we have a great deal of confusion going on. Remember the kite. If the string gets cut, it's into utter chaos up there in the wind. There's nothing controlling it, nothing holding it back, nothing protecting it from itself and from the elements that are now pounding upon it. Now, as Christians, we are not obligated to these rules. Okay? Now, bear with me now. Hold on. These are not rules that we must obey or we will be cast into hell. That was the thinking as far as Israel being, you know, giving the Ten Commandments. These are rules for us to follow. It goes from thou shalt not steal as a don't you dare do this thing to now, once you are saved by God's grace, thou shalt not steal is a promise. If you will just follow after me, God says, I promise you, you ain't going to be stealing. If you'll follow after me, I promise you, you're going to want to honor and obey your parents. If you'll follow after me, I promise you, you're not going to be wanting what belongs to someone else there. Because you're only going to be wanting me and you're going to be wanting more of me. They go from rules to obey or else to rules that we gladly wish to follow. And if we're going to approach God the right way, we must be willing to follow His rules. The Big Ten, as we call them. In verse number 23, we see that God barred the people from idols. Verse number 23 says, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. And I got to looking at some of the words here in verse number 23, and I wanted to know what's going on here. And that word with, he has the idea of nearness. God already said, don't be putting anything in front of me. But here He's saying, don't even try to play in the gray areas. Don't sit here and think, well, you know, we've got this particular thing. If you remember back here in the Old Testament, there came a point in time when the Israelites were out wandering in the desert there. And the snakes came along and started biting people. And they began to die. And Moses had to make the brazen serpent. And anyone who looked upon the brazen serpent was healed from the venom that the snakes had injected into their body. Nothing wrong with that. God told Moses to make this thing. It was used by God to bring a type of salvation there. In fact, Jesus even referenced it there in John chapter 3 in verse number 14 and 15. Talking about it just before He brought up, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the brazen serpent was a good thing. But then when we get over into 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and we're looking at all of the idolatry that is going on there in Judah, and in the northern kingdom of Israel, we find that they had taken that same brazen serpent and were now worshiping it. The Israelites started playing in a gray area. And God says, I don't want you to try to do anything like that. Don't be messing with the gray areas there. The word silver is talking about money. And when the money runs out, what happens? Everybody abandons you. You think about over there in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse 10, one of the most misquoted verses of the Bible. And that verse is talking about the love of money being the root of all evil. And it gets misquoted saying that money is the root of all evil. And it's just a way that the world takes and tries to slant it so as that, you know, Christians are just messed up. God says, don't be worshiping your money. Your money will disappear. I can reach into my pocket now and I can pull out some lint from this pocket. I can pull out some lint from this pocket. Payday was yesterday. Well, that ain't going to do me no good. It's already done. Gone. Our money will fail us. Our health will fail us. Our real estate will fail us. Our vehicles will fail us. Our family will fail us. Everything is going to fail us. The only one that we can trust in, the only one who we can count on, is God Almighty Himself. And then God talks about how that we are not to be making gods of gold. And Miss Gwen, I got to looking up that word gold. I expected it to say that gold means gold. And it did. But it also, Miss Betty, means fair weather. And we get to thinking about fair weather friends. We talk about how money is fleeting and all that. And I'm reminded over there in the book of Luke, chapter number 15, Jesus gave us the story of the prodigal son. And he left town, man. He had him a wad of cash. He went to the far country. He started living it up. Started doing anything and everything that he wanted to do. His entire life, he did it. And then one day he reached into that pocket, and there was the lint. He reached into the other pocket, well, maybe I got some emergency money. No, there's nothing there either. And his fair weather friends said, oh, you know what, I got other places to be. I got other people to see. I got other things to do. Give me a call when you get some more money. That's what happened. Money was an idol. His friends were an idol. His pleasures in this life were an idol. God barred the idols. He says, it ain't going to help you none. It's nothing that you want. You need to be staying away from this nonsense. Put all that to the side. God says, and approach me the right way, and we're going to have us a good time. We've been having a meeting there at our church this week. Different preachers each night. Getting to hear some different singing and whatnot. We're not a rich church. Can't even afford to pay the preachers. But we've been praying about this meeting. We've been looking forward to this meeting. We've been having a wonderful time with the Lord in this meeting. Because we've been trying to approach God the right way. God can do things for us. But we need to do things His way. That kite can do tricks up in the sky because the string attaches it to the ground. Not that God's manipulating us, but that God is going to use us for His honor and glory. In verses 24 down through 26, not only have we seen that God barred idols and that God established the Big Ten, but that God also said you need to be building properly in order to worship. Verse number 24, the Bible says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings. They take these sacrifices, they don't set them up there on the altar and then start cutting them up. They take them over here to a separate place. And they prepare the sacrifices. They get it cut up, they get everything cleaned up, they get it ready to go so that they can now bring it over here onto the altar and lay it down on there. But what they're doing in the process of getting it prepared over here so they can bring it over here is that they are preparing their own hearts for worship. If they were to take and offer the sacrifices right here on top of the altar, they're not taking the time to get their own hearts ready to go. We get our hearts ready to go by singing these songs of praise before we have the preaching. We get our hearts prepared by going and praying to the Lord and by seeking after Him. We get our hearts prepared by taking and setting time aside to read our Bibles, to study our Sunday school lessons, to get in there and see what God's got for us. So that we're not coming expecting everything to be dumped on us. We are coming prepared for everything to be presented to us. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Preacher, what's that got? What's that saying to us? I don't get it. Farmer goes out and he takes one kernel of corn and drops it into the ground and walks away. A few months later, he comes back to a stalk and it's got 3 or 4 ears of corn on it. Is that going to get him through the winter? No. At most, he's got 4 ears of corn. Bring that little monster over there to eat the corn, and you ain't going to have none left for tomorrow, much less all winter. Still ain't paying attention to it. But if that same farmer goes out and walks his rows dropping in kernels of corn at those set spaces, up and down the rows, back and forth across his fields until it's all been seeded, and walks away in a few months, he's going to come back, and what's going to happen? He's going to have a field full of corn. A field full of stalks that have 3 or 4 or 5 ears of corn on each stalk there. And it's not going to feed him for one day. It's not going to feed him for 1 week. It's not going to feed him for 1 month. It's going to feed him the entire winter there. It's going to be enough to bring him in to the following summer. And it's also going to be enough to give him seed so that he can go out there and plant those fields again back in the spring and keep the whole cycle going. The more we put into reading God's Word, the more we put into praying and seeking God's face, the more we are going to get out of it. But if you don't put anything in, don't get mad at God when it makes absolutely no sense. When you ain't getting nothing from it. When you're sitting there bored out of your mind. I just don't get it. Why am I even bothering to come? Exactly. Why are you even bothering to come? Because you ain't done nothing to get yourself ready to go to begin with. God says, approach me the right way. So bountifully. Be a cheerful giver about it. Gladly come into His presence and watch Him work in your life. Verse number 25 tells the specific instructions that they were, no cutting was to take place on the altar itself. Now, we're not talking about cutting up the sacrifice and placing it on the altar. We're now talking about them taking the stones that they would find there in the fields and cutting them and trying to square them up and make them perfect. And trust me, this table here was manufactured. It was not bound outside in pieces and simply assembled. And look, it's a perfect table. Someone had to shape it and form the iron and the legs and the plastic and the wood and everything here to make this table. And it's a nice table for us to use, but God says, that's not what I want. God said, I gave you these stones out there in the fields and in the mountains and the hills, in the valleys there, for you to take these stones and to place them together. And you don't got to sit there and shape them so that they will interlock. They'll do the job. Now, you might have to turn them a little bit. You might have to put a little bit of effort into getting it done. By the way, that's calling back to what we were just talking about in the previous verse. But God says, you take what I've already given you and you build my altar that way. He said there in verse number 25, "And if thou shalt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it." God says, if you're going to take and go out there and try to shape these stones your way, what you're doing is you're trying to worship me your way. You're trying to do things your way, and I ain't going to have it. I don't want it. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Galatians chapter number 1, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul took the church of Galatia to the spiritual woodshed. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Some Judaizers had gotten into the church there in Galatia, and they says, you know what? Y'all have a decent idea how to worship God, but let us tell you how exactly to do it. Paul ain't here right now. We are. We are experts at worshiping in the Judeo way, and we're going to teach you how to do it, and we're going to shape things our way. And Paul's gotten mad at them. This is the only church that we know of that he gave them absolutely no praise whatsoever. He says, you boys done messed up. You've got to get things straight. You've got to get back on track, and I'm going to tell you exactly how that goes. They had to get straightened out, church. And you know what? God will straighten us out, too. We get off track. Expect Him as a good father to chasten His children who are in disobedience. We might get yelled at. We might get whooped. We might get grounded. We might get a combination of all three. But He's not doing it to be mean to us. He's doing it because He loves us. And He wants to help us. And He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants to help us. So He says, you need to worship my way. My way will get it done. And then coming down into the home stretch here, verse number 26. Bible says, neither shalt thou go up thy steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered. God says, if you're going to build proper worship, don't be cutting on top of your sacrifice on top of the altar. Have it prepared before you come. Don't be cutting on the stones to form the altar your way. Do it my way. And He says, there are no shortcuts to heaven. Improper steps will leave you exposed. Let's be honest, church. They didn't wear pants back then. Everybody wore a robe. And if you've got to walk up several stairs there, and you ladies, if you've worn dresses, you've worn skirts, you know what happens. The higher up you go, the easier it is to start to look upward. And God says, don't be exposing yourself like that. You ain't got the fancy breeches to be wearing there. You're all wearing robes, whether you were men and women back then. I don't want you to be going up any steps. I want you to be doing things right there on a flat ground so you are not leaving yourself exposed. And church, we have a bad tendency of leaving ourselves exposed spiritually. We don't go and we don't put on the whole armor of God every single day. We think Sunday is good enough to be putting on the armor. We're getting ready to go to church. I'll get myself ready for that. It's Monday through Saturday. We especially need to have the armor on. God says, don't leave yourself exposed. We talk about Eve there in Genesis chapter number 3. What happened? God says, thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve looked at the tree of knowledge of good and evil and said, that is a tree to make one wise. Wisdom is a combination of knowledge and experience. She tried to take what we call a shortcut. What happened? It left her completely exposed. It left Adam completely exposed that day. And it left all of humanity completely exposed that day. God says shortcuts don't work. Now He will take us through the valley, church. But He'll take us through the valley because it is the best way to get to heaven. We can try to take the shortcut of climbing up the side of the mountain there. You know what happens? You start climbing up the side of the mountain. Those rocks start slipping out from underneath you and you tumble and fall. There was a fellow a couple years back. He was doing some rock climbing out in the southwest, I think it was. Stuck his hand in. He thought he was going to be able to get himself a grip. And instead that rock shifted, but not away from the face of the rock. The rock shifted in and pinched his arm. Several tons of rock holding his arm there. He had to end up taking a very dull survival knife out and using it to cut off his own arm at the elbow so that he could escape death that day. Don't be trying to take a shortcut. Don't be going the way you were not meant to go, church. You're going to end up being costly. You're going to end up having to cut stuff off that you weren't meant to cut off. Worship the right way. You think about the Tower of Babel there in the book of Genesis. And what happened? They were wanting to build a tower to reach up into heaven. And they were wanting to go approach God their way. God confounded their language. Let's see you build now. Don't work that way, church. God says build properly. Don't take no shortcuts. Have yourself prepared when you come to me and make sure you are doing it my way. But if you will build His way, if you will bar the idols from your heart and you will follow after the big ten there, God says you are going to be on the right track to being able to come to me. It might feel at times like you're at the mercy of the wind. Really? You're tied to the one who made the wind. And that's the best place to be, is with Him. I've got just two questions and a statement for you this morning. Number one, are we trying to do it God's way or our way? Very important there. Number two, has our way that we are going, whether it's God's way or our way, led to success or bitter failure? God's way never leads to bitter failure. And our way very rarely leads to success. My statement is simply this. How about we let God be large and in charge in our lives and go where He sends us to go? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all You've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. Pray, Father, that everyone here was able to get some little something out of the sermon this morning and be a help to them. And if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would see their need to be saved today before it's everlasting too late, especially as we enter into this Christmas season. Thank You, God, for all You've done. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.